Good morning. Good morning to everyone that's here and those who are tuned in by live stream. We're glad that you're with us today. It's good to have you with us and studying with us. For a while now, we've been talking about the Church of Christ, who we are, and talking about different questions that may be asked, different ideas that people have. Today, we're going to be dealing with the idea that we baptize only penitent believers. And this is something that is important for us to know. It's easy for us to understand that once we're baptized, that the Lord expects a lot out of us, that he expects us to be faithful to him, expects us to love one another, to love even our enemies, to be forgiving. A lot of things that God expects of us after we're baptized. But what about before we're baptized? Did you realize that God expects some things of people who are going to be baptized that we must do before we're baptized? Well, we're going to be talking about that today, and many people fail to understand what God expects of an individual before he is baptized. And I think that's the reason why we see a lot of error is because of this. This is shown in many religions of the world today. It shows that they do not understand what God expects of us before we're baptized. Many do not understand what God's expectations are, and this is seen in the practice of infant baptism, for instance. In America, it's said that there's 167 million adults who say that they're Christians, and that more than half of this number belong to churches whose practice is sprinkling water on an infant who has no knowledge of what's been done or what's transpiring. And so this is where we are this morning. This is where we're starting with our study. And in order to determine what we are to do, then we have to let God determine that. We go back to the truth to find out what God has required of us. We must remember that truth about any topic or any subject is not to be determined by the survey of how widely it's practiced, or whether it's a majority of people do it or not. Now, the majority of people may practice infant baptism. According to this number here, there would be over 85 million people who would think it was all right to baptize infants. And so we're going to talk about that today and see what God says about it. So we don't learn the truth by the popularity of it, because Moses said in Exodus 22 in verse 1, "Ye shall not follow a multitude to do evil." So just because it may be the majority, it doesn't mean that it's right. Truth is always decided by what God has revealed to us. And what God has revealed to us is in his word. And so to find out what the truth is on the matter, we go back to the word of God to see what it says. And so Moses said we're not to follow a multitude to do evil. Exodus 22 and verse 1. Now Jesus also had something to say about this. He shows in the discussion of the two paths that men follow, he tells us a lot in this passage. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." And so Jesus says then that the majority is not right. The majority is going down that wrong road that leads to destruction. It's the few that enter the narrow gate and the difficult way that leads unto life. The one truth that prevents many people from being baptized is that they must believe. And this is one thing that the Bible shows that is one of the things that we're to do before we're baptized, that God expects us to do before we're baptized. Now, I'd like for us to take an idea or get an idea from the Old Testament and the New. We're going to compare the two on the covenants that was given at this particular time, and I think this will help us to understand what God wants today. God had chosen the Jewish nation as his special people. You go back to the Old Testament and you'll find that he had chosen them. Matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, God says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth." And so God had chosen the Jewish people as his people, as the nation of his people. Now, what does that say? Well, because of this, then whenever a child was born into a Jewish family, then he became part of God's chosen family. Now, not because he knew God, not because he had learned about God and had faith, but he was born into the Jewish family, and so he automatically became a part of God's chosen family. The infant did not know God, yet he was a child of God. Now, you think about this. That was under the old covenant. Now, the Jewish child that was born was a child of God, even though he did not know God existed. As he grew, it was necessary for others to teach him about God and to teach him how he was to live in God, what God wanted him to do as he lived here on the earth. Now, of course, like then or like now, this often did not happen. People did not teach him those things, and you had people who were children of God who knew not God, and they were not faithful to God. They had never been taught about God, and yet they were his chosen people. Well, some 600 years before Jesus was born, Jeremiah contrasted the covenant of the old with the one that Jesus was to bring when he came into the world. There was quite a difference in these two, as we'll see as we study. The Jewish children had to be taught of God, and faith in him had to come years after his birth. And so a child of God may have been on up middle age before he even realized that there was a God and that he was to act toward God, depending on how often or how young he was taught. Well, Jeremiah prophesied that when Jesus came, all of this would be changed, that it wouldn't be like this. He described it in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34. He says, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more." So he said, when this ever this new covenant comes, it's going to be different. It'll not be like it was in the old one, and we'll notice that a little bit more as we get into our next point or two. Under the Jewish system, one became a part of God's chosen nation and later learned about God. So that was under the old law. That was the Jewish system that we're talking about. Now, under the new system that Jesus was to bring and introduce when he came into the world, God's new covenant plan was for all men to become part of the kingdom of God by being born again of a spiritual birth. Now, not a natural birth. The Jewish children became children of God when they were born naturally. They were just born into the world. They didn't do anything, didn't have anything to do with it. When they were born into the world, then they became a part of God's family. But he said under the new one then, it's to be different to this. Each one is to be chosen of God because they have been born again in a spiritual birth. You remember in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked him what to do, and Jesus told him in verse 3, except you're born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, he said, except you're born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So this new covenant plan then was for all men to become part of God's kingdom by being born again of a spiritual birth. One was to have a knowledge of the Lord before he entered the kingdom. Now before, under the old law, they entered the kingdom and then they learned about God. But now they're going to learn about God first and then enter the kingdom. Now let's go back to Jeremiah again. And this time we want to back up two or three verses, still in chapter 31. Let's begin with verse 31 and read down through verse 34. We read verse 34 a minute ago, but let's go through this again. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Listen to what Jeremiah says. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, and after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their mind and write it on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now you remember the covenant that God gave to the Jews was on tables of stone. You remember Moses went up into the mountain and met with God, and God with his own finger wrote on two tables of stone the Ten Commandments and gave to Moses. Well, when he came down from the mountain, the people were worshiping idols, and he threw the stones down and broke them and had to go back and have other stones at that time. But this covenant was on tables of stone. God says it's not going to be that way anymore. It's not going to be written on tables of stone, but this covenant is going to be, he says, I will put my law in your minds and write it on your heart, and I will be your God, and you should be my people. So it's different. And it was going to be written in their heart. They would know God. They would know about him. And this was done before they became children of God. Jesus tells us that all will be taught by God. Now, he said he would put it on their minds and in their hearts. In John chapter 6 and verses 44 and 45, he said, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. And I will raise him at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. And so God intended that his people be taught. His plan was to send messengers to teach men about God before they became his chosen people. Matthew chapter 28, remember in verse 19, Jesus told his disciples to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe all things that he commanded, and he'd be with them always, even to the end of the age. And also in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said, Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So this shows then that God intended that there be messengers sent, and we'll have more to say about that in just a little bit, that there were to be messengers sent into the world that people could know him and that they would have the faith in him that they needed before they were baptized into him. Now, those who called on the name of the Lord, he says, will be saved. And that is true. But there's more to calling on the Lord than just saying, Lord, Lord. Well, how do I know that? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So I know there's more to calling on the name of the Lord than just saying, Lord, I believe, or saying, Lord, Lord. Paul explains that to us a little bit in Romans chapter 10. In verse 14, he said, How then shall they call on the name of the Lord, or call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now here again is the messengers that God intended to send into the world and to preach the gospel to these people. And then as they heard the gospel, then it created faith within them. They believed in God, and they were willing to be baptized for the remission of their sins. So Paul shows what that calling on the name of the Lord is. How shall they believe on whom they have not, how shall they call on whom they have not believed, and so forth. So we have to believe, we have to hear, we have to have the preaching done in order for this action to take place. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him and whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? First must come, a faith must come before calling on God for salvation. So we call on the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. But there's some other things that has to come first, and faith is one of those things that has to come first. But there can be no faith without first there being a hearing of the Word of God. So here shows our obligation again, our responsibility, that Jesus was thinking about when he sent his apostles into the world to preach the gospel. Now let's go back to that passage again that we noticed a while ago. Jesus made it very clear just before he left the earth, after he had ascended from the grave, and before he left earth to go back to heaven, he made it very plain what his intentions were. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, it said, Jesus came and spake to his apostles and said unto them, All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, this was what God intended. The people were to be taught of God. They were to know about God. They would have faith in him, faith in his Son. And so Jesus said, go teach all nations, everyone that you can find. Mark, with the like passage, said in 15 and 16, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so every creature is to be taught. Jesus clearly teaches that two things must precede salvation. Believing and being baptized, those two things must precede. Now let's notice some examples of this. If you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read a few verses there from Acts chapter 2, and you can read along with me as we read from there if you'd like. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading with verse 28 of that chapter. Acts 2 and verse 29. Let's start with verse 29. You remember this is the day of Pentecost now, and the Holy Spirit has appeared to the apostles and caused them to be able to speak in languages that they'd never studied. And so everybody that was there, devout men from every nation under heaven, it said, was there. And everybody heard the gospel taught in their own language. And so this is Peter's gospel, or Peter's sermon, that is recorded here in this part where we're reading. Verse 29 beginning. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ. And his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having raised from the dead, Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heaven as into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now down in verse 41, it says, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that day there were about 3,000 souls added unto them. In verse 47, it says that the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Now, what do we have? We have an example here of people who were guilty of sin. They had crucified the Son of God. Peter and the other apostles spoke the gospel unto them. They heard it. They were convinced that they had crucified the Son of God. They knew that they needed to repent. They did. And so they were baptized. As it said, so this was penitent believers that were baptized. Now turn over to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and let's read about 3 or 4 verses there. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, beginning. Now Saul was consenting to his death. That's talking about the death of Stephen in chapter 7. It talks about his being stoned and so forth. At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except for the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging out men and women and committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now let's go back and notice this. In the book of Acts, you see how that Saul was one who was consenting to the death of Stephen and so forth. Now these people then that were scattered abroad because of their belief, they were scattered abroad. They didn't quit, but they went everywhere preaching the word of God. Now I want to notice a few things about this. Those who became scattered became God's messengers. So they didn't quit the teaching of God's word. They didn't stop it at all. They became his messengers. They went everywhere preaching the word. And if you study the scripture, you'll find there were churches that were popping up here and there because the people had heard the gospel and they went and they taught it. And others also were doing the same thing. Well, those who believed the message and were baptized were the ones who were drawn to Jesus by God. You know, it said that he would draw all men unto him, and no one could come to him except the Father draw them unto him. And so these were the ones that were drawn by the Father, those that heard the message from these people that went everywhere as they were scattered from Jerusalem, and they became messengers of God. People heard, and they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's take one man, for example, and you have your Bible open there at Acts chapter 8. This is where some of the scriptures will be from that we'll be talking about. Philip went down into Samaria and preached unto them Jesus. But before he came, there was a man, Simon, who was a sorcerer and had practiced sorcery, and the people thought he was some great person. But when Philip came and began to preach the gospel, they could tell the difference in the truth and the other. They heard, they believed, and they were baptized. It says that they were baptized, both men and women. Now, who were these people? Well, they were penitent believers. They were ones who heard the gospel, they believed it, and they obeyed it. About this time, the Spirit spoke unto Philip and told him to go down to the road that led down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he went, and there he found a man, a nobleman from Ethiopia, who had been to Jerusalem to worship, was returning home and reading from Isaiah the prophet. He did not understand what he read. He invited Philip to come up into the chariot with him. And he began at that same scripture and taught unto him Jesus. And as you remember, they came down the road to a certain water, and he said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water. He baptized him. They both came up out of the water. The Spirit caught Philip away that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Well, who was this that was baptized? It was a penitent believer. He was one that had been to worship, didn't understand what he was reading. He was taught. He understood it. He had faith. He was baptized into Jesus Christ. Acts 8, verses 36 and 37. And then in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, you have Saul of Tarsus. Now, we talked about him here in chapter 8 a while ago, how that he was persecuting the church, and dragging people out and putting them in prison and so forth. Well, in chapter 9, we have him here where he had gone to the chief priest. He had gotten the letters of authority and was on his way to Damascus. And he was looking for Christians where he could arrest them and bring them back and put them into prison. Well, on his way to Damascus, before he got there, there was a great light that shined round about him. And the Lord spoke to him from that light and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you persecute." And he said, "What would you have me to do?" And the Lord told him to go into the city. It would be told him what to do. He went into the city, was there 3 days without sight, did not eat or drink. Ananias came to him and told him what he ought to do. He arose, was baptized, began to preach the gospel that he had been trying to destroy. And so here we find another penitent believer who was baptized. We'll go to the next chapter 10. You have a man by the name of Cornelius, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, gave much alms to the people and so forth, prayed to God always. And there was an angel that appeared to him and told him to send to Joppa and to find one by the name of Simon and bring him back, and he would tell him words where he might be saved. Well, he took two of his household servants and a devout soldier and sent them to Joppa to find Simon. And they found him and brought him back, and he entered in and found out that, that Cornelius had gathered all of his family and friends together to hear what Simon had to say when he came back. When he came back and entered into the house and started speaking unto them, it says the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it did on the Jews in the very beginning. And so he said, who can forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just like we did in the beginning? And they were baptized, he and his household. And then in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, you have Paul and Silas in prison. And they'd been cast into prison. They cast an evil spirit out of a girl who was a fortune teller. And the ones that owned her were making money from that, didn't like it, and had them put in prison. Well, at midnight, they were praying and singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken. And everyone's, the doors were open first, and everyone's chains were loosed. And so the jailer came and was about to kill himself, had drawn his sword, and Paul said, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." And he came in and fell down at their, trembling at their feet, and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they told him what to do. They taught him the gospel, he and his household, and they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who was this? This was a penitent believer. And all the examples that we have of people who were converted were penitent believers. They were not children, infants. Now, the logical question then, after we've talked about this and talked about how that infants are not to be baptized, is if infants cannot be baptized, are they lost? Well, the answer is absolutely not. The Bible shows that infants do not have sins to be washed away by baptism. They don't know what sin is. They don't even know there is a God. They don't even know that there is a devil. They don't know right from wrong. And they've not reached the age of responsibility yet. And so, no, they're not lost. The Bible shows that sin is not inherited, as some people think it is, but something that we do, not something that's inherited from someone else. Listen to Ezekiel in chapter 18 and verse 20. "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." So sin is a transgression of the law. It's something that we do. It's not something that we inherit. And so I don't inherit sin from my parents, and I'm not responsible for what they did. They're not responsible for what I'm doing. But here Ezekiel said it's something that we do, something that we commit. And if we transgress the law of God, then I'm guilty of that sin, and I have to pay for that sin. Look at what Jesus said. I think this will explain it maybe a little bit further. In Matthew 18 and verse 3, "And said, Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now if children, little children, infants, were sinners, then why would Jesus say that we had to become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven? No, the little children doesn't have sin. They don't need to be baptized. It's the ones of us who have reached the age of responsibility and have transgressed the law of God that needs to be baptized. We need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. And so we baptize only penitent believers. I believe that's what Jesus intended. That's what God intended. That's what God taught from his word, as we've seen this morning. Now, if there are those here today who have never yet obeyed the gospel, you've never been baptized, you need to be. God wants you to be. Jesus came and died on the cross that you could be. And so why would you wait? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Why not come while we stand and as we sing together?